Praise the Lord. Let me just get this all adjusted. All right, let me open in prayer. Father, I just thank you for everyone in this room today and everyone that can hear my voice or see this stream, Lord Jesus, that Father, that you be magnified. That Father, that the reality of you here with us would just be amplified, Lord. That the things that we go through in our day, Lord Jesus, that we would be able to make the shift and see them the way that you see them. That our eyes would not be on the creation, Lord, but your purpose for the creation, Lord. Father, I just trust you to reveal through your word that each one's hearts would be enlightened, they would be opened up, and that each one of us would be increased from the inside, Lord Jesus, that our invisible person would be stronger and stronger and stronger, that day by day we get brighter and brighter and brighter in your glory, Lord. And that, Father, the reality that you would never leave us and never forsake us would be a very real fact to us, Lord. That Holy Spirit, that you would be so close to us that we would never feel alone, that we would never be separated from the life of God. And that when we walk on this world, Lord, that love would be our defining attribute, Lord. That people would actually see you in us by the love that we demonstrate for others, Father. And I just thank you for that, and I trust you for that in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Not quite all right. Thank you, Jesus. If you got a Bible, bring it out. You know, I've been saying this phrase lately, and a lot of you have been saying it too and hearing it. You know, the world talks a certain way, and the world looks at things a certain way. And it's easy for us sometimes to be so around the world that it rubs off on us. So we need to tighten it up. We need to hone in, and we need to refocus from time to time. So that's what I'm going to talk about today. Because how many of you would like to see greater manifestations of the kingdom of God in your life, in your body, and in the world around you?
Amen.
Amen. So we are going to learn some things today, and I just want to let you know right now, I'm going to give you an exercise. And for some of you, you're going to feel like it's impossible. Okay, but I want you to just be encouraged and know it is possible. Well, I want to qualify that. Do any of you only have one eye that can see? Raise your hand if you only have one eye that can see. Because if you only have one eye, this will be impossible for you to do. You need two eyes to do it. Okay, so everyone qualifies. So you'll need both eyes to be able to do this. God gave us two eyes for a reason, believe it or not. Because two eyes give us depth perception, right? We need two eyes in order to get depth perception. And we're going to learn about seeing deeper than we've been looking. Does that make sense? Okay. So I'm going to skirt around this a little bit. Deb, you want to put up the first picture, please? Now, if any of you know what this is, do not say anything. Walk in humility and let everyone else discover it for themselves. Bigger, bigger. That's good. Now, this picture has an interesting characteristic. It's two pictures in one. Now, if you're looking according to the natural, you see a bunch of squiggly lines, little oval-looking crooked thing, okay? But if you will look deeper through the picture to where your eyes blur in the natural, they can focus inside the picture, and you'll see something quite amazing. But you have to look into the picture and through the picture. Let your eyes blur, and then it'll come clear, and then you can focus in. When you focus, you will be able to look around the picture crystal clear. How many of you have been able to do it? One, two. Gotcha. Okay. So I'm going to go ahead and talk, and you guys can feel free to be zombies staring into space because your ears are still working, okay? So I'm going to tell you what the picture is. So who saw it? What is the picture? Right, what is the 3D picture you saw? Yes, that's correct. What it is it's four sharp areas. It comes in, shoots out to a point, comes back down, and then shoots back out again. Very dramatic, very, very deep picture. Deb, you want to do the second picture? This picture, there's some things in it that you can distinguish right now. You can see it looks like water. It looks like lily pads with frogs on them. And then you'll see some turtles with some lizards on them. And then you'll see some salamanders and butterflies and flowers and trees and birds, right? In the natural. Focus, and I want to let you know, there's actually fish in the water. And the depth of this picture is phenomenal. Just phenomenal. Okay, so I'm going to tell you how to do it again. You look into the picture. You look through the picture. You let your eyes blur. Because what this is images over images. So the focus is in a different place than you're used to focusing your eyes. For those of you that are just listening to my voice, we have 3D printings on there. And we are looking at, sometimes you would have seen a poster maybe 15, 20 years ago that were real popular that had these images. That they're printed in such a way that you have to blur your eyes to a different level of focus in order to bring them into a synchronized picture. Anybody else been able to see it yet? You can? How many fish are there? Okay, you haven't seen it yet. Look deeper. There's two fish and two turtles, but the turtles are side by side. And it's really hard to see the second turtle, but you can see the first turtle perfect. Okay, that's all the time I'm going to spend on these. I will leave these up afterwards if you want to come and look at them, okay? So, how many of you, this is an absolutely new way of looking at something? Okay? Now, how many of you that could not see it really believe me when I say what's in that picture? Okay. It could be because of the screen. Here, let me make sure I can see. Yeah, they're in the water. Yes. No, they're in the water. Yeah, and the depth of it is just tremendous. Once you can get the fish focused in, oh, man, you can just look at it every. It's just deep, deep. Oh, I see the fish that you say. Look a little deeper. Those fish that are going all the way across the bottom, look even deeper than that. And you'll start seeing a greater depth. And then if you just kind of focus in on it, you'll see that what you're looking at, which looks like kind of a hole, is actually two more fish if you focus a little bit further in. Two fish and a turtle. Actually, there's two turtles, but the second one's hard to see. You can just see his head. I know you guys say stuff. Just listen, when you can see it, it is clear as a mirror. It's crystal, gorgeously crystal clear and deep and just gorgeously, vibrantly focused. But the way you normally look and have been taught to look on the surface of something is not how you see this. You have to look here. You got to look through it to here. And so this will be so out of focus that it comes into a different focus. Okay, I don't want to keep you guys. Take it off, Deb. For some of you looking at the TV, it might be easier. I'll put those up on the last few minutes afterwards, and we'll put this one up because this is the easiest one, actually. Now, if you can see the cross in the sky, you're back to the flesh again, people. You're back to looking in the flesh. Okay, so as difficult as that was, what I'm going to tell you next is just as difficult. Okay? But I want to let you know, you've heard these words a million times, but that doesn't mean you're doing it. You agree that it's true, but it doesn't mean you're actually accomplishing it. Okay? Just like that picture. You can see what's on the surface, but you have to practice being able to see what's actually printed there beyond the surface, to look deeper into what's really there. Okay? What I'm going to tell you is equally as difficult at first, but after you get authority over your mind, then it's easy, because it's like water skiing. You're getting dragged through the water at first, but as soon as you get up on top of the water, man, you can have a lot of fun. Man. But you got to learn how to stand up off of the water, okay? So, walk on water. Amen. Fred should have been here this morning. Pastor Trey sang. It was great.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Go with me to Isaiah 55. Okay, I want you to know something, that I am not calling you wicked or unrighteous, but I am going to apply it to you for the purpose that the untrained person saw the exact same picture up on the surface as the trained person sees. But the trained person's able to look through the picture into the fullness of what's actually there, okay? Look at this, starting in verse 6. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way. I want to talk about your way, how you do it, your way. And the unrighteous man, his thoughts. An unrighteous man is simply this, for the purpose of this night's conversation, I'm going to define a righteous man. After tonight, you go back to your unrighteous man. You go back to the way you've always thought about it. For tonight, think of it this way. An unrighteous man is a person who does not think he's righteous. Okay? An unrighteous man does not think he's absolutely innocent in the sight of God. An unrighteous man does not believe that everything that God has available belongs to him. An unrighteous man doesn't believe that. An unrighteous man does not believe that all sin has been paid for by the Lord Jesus Christ. An unrighteous man sees evil in other people. An unrighteous man sees fault in other people. An unrighteous man doesn't know that he's just like God. They don't know that. Only righteous people know that. So let me just say this. It says, and the unrighteous man forsake what?
His thoughts.
So I want to talk to you about your way and your thoughts. Okay? Your way and your thoughts. Let me just keep on reading a little bit. Are you ready? And the unrighteous man, his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord, and he will have mercy on him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Listen to his example. For as the rain comes down and snows from heaven, and do not return, but the water, but waters the earth and brings forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. So God brings water down unto heaven to bless the earth so that it brings seed and food for all of us. Listen. So shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it. An unrighteous person does not believe their words do this. They don't believe it. A wicked person doesn't walk in this way. They don't realize it. Let me look what happens when you continue on. Verse 12. For you shall go out with joy and be led out with peace. The mountains and the hills shall break forth into singing before you. And all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Instead of the thorn shall come up the cypress tree, and instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle tree, and it shall be to the Lord for a name, for an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. So what he's saying is, when an unrighteous person forsakes their thoughts, and when a wicked person forsakes their way, then their way lines up with God's way, that they start thinking and being more like God so that they can get the same results God gets. And then this rejoicing starts coming. And instead of thorns, they get the cypress tree, and they get all these wonderful things start happening in the world around them. It breaks forth in singing when you walk into the room. Okay? Go to Proverbs chapter 14. Verse 12. This is in the Bible twice. Isn't that wonderful? You know how he says, in the witness of two or three, let every word be established. Well, he did such a great job. He gave us one exactly the same verbiage twice. So he meant this one. There is a way that seems right to a man, but the end is the way of death. Whoa. Are you kidding me? There's a way that seems right to people. It actually seems right. It actually seems right. Not evil and corrupt. It seems right. But the end of it is what?
Death.
Chapter 16. It's just a couple pages over. Verse 25. Same verse. I'll just read it. There is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. Go to 21, chapter 21 of Proverbs, verse 2. Every way of a man is right in his own eyes, but the Lord does what? He weighs the heart. He weighs the heart. So, let me just do a little commercial. We'll go on. Let's bring this home. I'm going to bring it down to real life, okay? Real life. You know how we do the decrees in the morning? And I do a little narrative before that to kind of get everybody on the same page? Let's do an exploded example of that. How many of you said you wanted to get more of the manifestation of the kingdom of God in your life? How many of you know there's more than is available?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. So let me just tell you this right now. If you want more, you can't do it your way. Those are huge words, you guys. Those are giant, big, plump, huge words. You cannot do it your way. It seems right your way. It seems right. You spent all of your life becoming who you are today. You know better, right? You trust your thoughts. You trust the motives of your heart. After all, I've weighed all the facts. I've looked at all the options. And through all of my years of experience, I've come to this conclusion. Of course I'm right. And you're wrong. Just to let you know. Psalms 95. Don't feel bad. I'm going to tell you the answer. Don't even begin to worry about it. Psalms 95. Psalms 95, we love Psalms 95. We use it a lot when we're talking about worshiping God and praising God and rejoicing in the presence of God. And I love it. I just love it. Oh, that's 75. I meant 95. Did I say 75 or 95? I meant 95. And so we always say these two verses, 1 and 2. It says, "Oh, come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us shout joyfully to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving. Let us shout joyfully to him with psalms." Jump down to 6. "Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. For he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand." Hallelujah. Rejoice. Then he says this. "Today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion. As in the day of trial in the wilderness, when your fathers tested me and tried me, though they saw my works for 40 years, I was grieved with that generation and said, it is a people who go astray in their hearts, and they do not know my ways. So I swore in my wrath, you shall not enter my rest." Same verses in Hebrews. They didn't know God's ways. Okay? Let's find out God's ways real quick. Just real quick. Go to Mark 11. This is playing right off of Isaiah 55:11. Mark 11. And just so that you feel good about yourselves for a minute, huh?
It seems right.
Jesus, when he was speaking to all the people that loved him, that were being taught by him, that were following him, that forsake so much to be around him, he called them a perverse generation. Why? He didn't say, "You all are disgusting to me." That's not what he said. Perverse means twisted. It means you're doing it the wrong way. You're just doing it the wrong way. Okay? He also, in Luke 11, you don't have to go there, but you know the section where it talks about knock and keep on knocking, seek and keep on seeking, ask and keep on asking. In the Amplified, it says that continually. It says, "And you being evil." You know, Pastor Trey should do that more frequently. "You all are evil, you know that? Don't you be smiling when I say that. You're evil. That's what Jesus said. You're just evil. You know that?" Huh? Brood of vipers. But the point is this. The way natural men think is wrong. The end is death. There's a higher way to think. There's a higher way to be. But you have to press into it. Like that picture that I had up there. Listen, there is a glorious picture inside that picture, but it's exhausting at first. I'm not used to doing it that way. That's not the way that I look at things. Exactly. That's my point. If we want to get God's results, we have to do it God's way, right? Okay. Mark 11. Ready? Verse 22. 23 and 24, 25 and 26. "So Jesus answered and said to them, 'Have faith in God, for assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea,'" stop, how many of you have tried in genuineness before God with the Holy Spirit to cast a mountain into the sea? No, actually. Why not? He says you don't need to.
I personally haven't had a need to.
You haven't had a need to.
Yeah, if I needed to, I probably would.
Okay, so that's good. That's a great way to think. Natural man.
I'm going to die.
Here you go. Listen, I would bet 2 cents that you don't believe you can. That you don't believe you can. Now, the intellectual person would say, oh, but God can, and God's in me, so he will. But you don't. You know why? Because you don't know if he'll back you up. You just don't know if he will or not, so you don't even try. Okay? Have you cast a mountain into the sea? Jackie, if you've cast a mountain into the sea, it'll be in the news. Other people will tell you it happened. They'll say, Mount Everest just plummeted into the Pacific Ocean. All right. We'll just let that slide. Yeah. No, see, yeah, okay, okay. This is a straight line we're on. That's a tangent we just went on. Okay. So the point is this. It's crazy to think that you can cast a mountain into the ocean. But look at the next line. And does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done and will have whatever he says. Let me just stop right there. We'll read the rest in a minute. That you believe that what you say will be done. That you actually believe that what you say will be done. It doesn't say that in this verse, it doesn't say that you say it and God will do it. It doesn't say that. Other verses do say that. That he'll do whatsoever thing you ask. Okay? This word ask, as in many of them, is a leto or something like that. It's number 154. It simply means a demand for what is due you. Okay, like a requisition order, Minton says, and that's a great example. It's for you getting what's rightfully yours. So you're not asking for anything that shouldn't be yours. You're just going for what's rightfully yours. You just need to put your request in for it. A request is a requisition, which means that it's a demand for, I need this, 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 and this. It doesn't have a bad attitude with it. Attitude isn't even involved in this whole thing. It's simply a request for what's due you. That's the word ask, wish, or desire. Okay? So, I'm going to bring this home, trust me. So, here's the thing. Many of us don't believe what we say will actually happen when it comes to whatever your little criteria is. Big things. Things concerning God. Supernatural things. Financial things. Healing things. Whatever. Many of us don't believe we have the goods. And so therefore, we're asking, since I can't pull it off, I need you, God, to do it for me. And if you loved me like you say you would, then you would do this for me. Because you say you love me. So, if you love me, why'd you let so-and-so die? Why'd you let this happen? Why did I lose my job? How come I got molested when I was little? You say you loved me. That's a real difficult thing. But I'm going to give you a principle that can literally override all of that if you'll take the time to learn it, to really hone in on it. And I'm not saying this lightly. I am genuinely very serious about it. Just like that picture, you're gonna have to press to get yourself to do it the way that works. You can say you looked at that picture. You can say you gave it all, your entire intent. But if you didn't see the picture, you didn't accomplish it. You didn't get it done. Okay, you don't need God to see the picture. He gave you 2 eyes that could see it clearly. And if anyone can see it clearly, all of us can see it clearly. Does that make sense? If God will do it for anyone, He'll do it for you. If he's given it to anyone, he can give it to you. Okay? Our mistake is sometimes we don't know his way or the way he thinks about things. Okay? And sometimes we nail it down so specifically in areas that we're doing it wrong. And I want to help you straighten it out. Okay, so I'm going to hit three areas just real quick before I even go on. Area number one, healing. Who needs healing in your body? Okay, take what I'm going to say for yourself in this. Who needs financial blessing? Whatever. Just no, this is number two. Financial blessing. A job, a better job. Houses, more houses. Land, more lands. Gifts in the mail. Checks. Debt paid off. Just to name a few. You know, money. Okay? How many of you can use more? Listen, we should be thinking about millions of dollars. Why? Because once you're paid up, you can really do some good. Because after all, you're a wonderful human being. You're kind, you're loving, and you're generous. You can do more if you had more. How about relationships? Now listen, don't raise your hands on this one. Do not, okay? How many of you need some help in a relationship with somebody? This will help, but you got to do it. You've got to do. Throw that picture back up, Debbie. The second one with the animals in it. And just leave it up there for people. Ready? Okay, so how does this work practically? Suppose if I look at that and I'm saying, okay, I see the frogs, I see the lily pads, I see the water, I see the trees, I see the flowers, I see the butterflies. Okay? Ready? Forget about all of that. That whole picture has nothing to do with what's in the picture. Okay? Listen to my directions like as if you're going to bake a cake. What's in the picture doesn't matter. You're going to look through this picture into the real picture. So let me bring it home. If you have a spouse or a boss or someone in your life and their behavior and their conduct grieves you, I am not talking about their behavior. I am not talking about the way they act. I'm not talking about the way they hurt you. I'm not talking about how evil they act sometimes. It has nothing to do with it. Ready? You have to let go or forgive. In other words, release yourself from what's happening at the moment. That is not an easy peasy thing to do. The natural mind looks at the picture. You've got to blur that picture out. Blur it out. I don't say blurt it out. Blur it out. When a person, or if your body is in pain and you've got a diagnosis, a legitimate diagnosis from the doctor, shut up. Leave it alone. That's not the issue. That's not the focus. Too many people are focusing on getting healed instead of what the truth is in the picture. The truth is that in the spirit, you're whole. But if you can't see it, you need to take time, sit down and focus and really focus. Blur your vision on what's right in front of your face in your life right now and see what's really happening in the spiritual realm. You need money? It's not about how much money you've got right now. Let that go. So the checking account's empty. So what? That's not what creates money. What creates money is seeing your life with it. When I quit smoking, I never addressed cigarettes. Never came up. because I wanted to be a non-smoker. Guess what non-smokers don't think about? Cigarettes. It's not even in their conversation or thoughts. Non-smokers have nothing to do with cigarettes, right? Okay. That picture that's right there on a two-dimensional screen is not what's real in that picture. It's not what's the important thing. A non-smoker has to see themselves as a healthy, vibrant person. Okay? Relationships. I have some experience in this one. This is hard, but it's so vitally important. A person that you're having issues with isn't living up to your expectation, isn't being the way you think they should be, you need to turn them loose. Get your attention off of their behavior and how they're affecting you, because the drama will dry your bones and kill you. It's a toxin. It's a poison. And here's the problem. Debbie, can you just close that out? Don't close it out. Just go ahead and open up the other one and go to 1 Corinthians 13. I used to think that this was impossible, but I've proven to myself it's not. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. You guys go there with me. This is the love chapter, verse 4 and 5. Love suffers long. Love is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself, is not puffed up. Listen to this one. Does not behave rudely. I love that one. Does not seek its own. How about this one? Is not provoked. Love is unprovokable. Unprovokable. Thinks no evil. I'll just leave it on those ones. Love thinks no evil. He who is in me is greater than he who's in the world, right? That's the truth. The Spirit of God's in me. The Spirit of God is L-O-V-E. Say it. Love. God is love. God lives in me, right? As he is love and he's in me, because I'm operating the same love that God has, I judge me, Lord. Go ahead, judge me. Go for it. Judgment begins right here. Go ahead and judge me. Please judge me, because I know how much I love you and how much you love me. So I'm not afraid of that judgment, because as he is full of love, so am I in this world. If I'll believe it. Now, here's the thing. That picture that was up there, you can switch back, Debbie. That picture that's up there, there's no sign of those fishes and the turtle. There's no sign of it being at least that deep when you look at it as a picture. At least that deep of different layers. Each thing's further and further away. You got to trust me when I say that. But I promise you, if you continue to practice it, you'll see exactly what I'm talking about. Here's the thing. Love thinks no evil. Love is unprovokable. Love hopes all. Love believes all. Love never fails. So here's the thing. That other person that's giving you grief, that body that has sickness in it, and your body is screaming at you, telling me this is true, this is true, this is true. Listen, you put that aside and you speak life to yourself. Not healing, and not that another person's going to act right. That's not what I'm talking about. You want a better relationship with a person? This is what you say. Take notes. Years of failure to come to the truth that works. My part. Years of failure to find out what works. It's not about the other person. It's about how I feel in their presence. How do they make me feel when I'm around them? How do I identify with myself with them? Because they're doing this, 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 and this. It's affecting me, right? The sickness. Because the pain's doing this, 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 and this. It's hurting me, isn't it? But if we will change our thoughts and we speak life and we focus in on the life by setting our mind on things above and not on the things that we're experiencing on the earth, and we go straight for that and make that real, there is another picture inside of that picture, and it is way, 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 way better than that picture. It's vibrant. It's magnificently vibrant. But you've got to go for it. You've got to believe it exists, and you cultivate it, and you press into it, and you make it your reality. When you do, when you succeed at it, there will be a rejoicing inside of you because something happens that is phenomenal. You know what happens is all the hurt in your heart goes away. It's called forgiveness. Here's forgiveness. Not putting your attention on it, not focusing on it, releasing it, and not calling it real anymore. Even if the behavior, even if the bank account, and even if your body says it's this way and that way, you override the way that seems right and natural to you. And you change the way you think about it, and you speak life and blessing, and you see the way that God sees it. You need a job? Speak. Now, I'm going to give you the clues now. Here's how it works. I have a fulfilling, let's just say job. I have a fulfilling, rewarding, abundantly prosperous job. I have a fulfilling, rewarding, abundantly prosperous job. Did you just hear what I said? I didn't pick a vocation. I didn't pick a place to work. I didn't pick what I do at my job. I didn't pick any of that stuff. I didn't make sure I didn't have what I don't like about what I've got. I picked how I am in that job. And if you'll do that, then those people that are in your circle or in your world that have anything to do with your job, you'll see them start lining up with that point of view that you have. Don't say it to other people. Keep it between you and God. Keep it between you and God. You're changing what you say in your heart. You're changing what you say in your heart. You have to teach your heart to let go of what seems natural and normal and is easily observable. And you drop it. Let it go. Forgive it. Release it. They don't owe it. They don't have to fix it. They don't have to make it right. Leave it alone. It's going to disappear pretty soon, you guys. And focus on what you're believing God for, what Jesus has promised, what the Holy Spirit stays with you every second to prove to you is true and real. And as you do that, you'll start seeing over a period of time that this thing that you've been believing for becomes the big thing in your life. And that thing, you hardly can even recall it was there. And the sting of it is gone. The bondage of it is gone. And definitely the owie is gone. Because you've what? Turned it loose. Too many people try to do this for a little while. And then you know what they do? They go right back to blaming again. Right back to getting their dander all up and their emotions all screwed up, messed up. Sorry, I apologize for that. And they get in bondage to it again. Okay? Faith is what? According to Romans 4:17. Calling things that be not as though they were. There's no sign of it whatsoever, what you're saying. You don't have to decide where it comes from. You don't decide how it fixes. You don't decide any of it. You plant the seed, you protect it, and you water it, and you trust that God brings it to pass. You can't make a lima bean grow, but God can. Right? And you trust on a natural seed, you trust that it'll grow if you put it in the right environment, right? That's all it takes, putting it in the right environment. That's the part where you guard your heart and your mouth. Okay, I'm not going to go there. Thank you, Lord. I don't care that it's in the Bible. I'm not going there right now, Holy Spirit. I'm not going to talk to you about how much your bad words offend God. I just want to let you, I'm just going to tell you straight. Holy Spirit won't let me up. When you speak unbelief and how bad it is, God takes it personally that you're doing it to him. You don't think you're doing it to him. You're just saying how you feel and what you believe is real. But God himself gets offended by it because he said how many times? 10 times you tested me in the wilderness. 10 times. And God's heart is to bless and to prosper and to give you joy that overflows inside of you. And it comes by thinking that way. When it comes to relationships, you bless people. The madder you get at them, the louder your blessing needs to get. I'm serious. I'm not even playing a game with you. If you're fiery mad, you shout blessings. You shout blessings. You take that anger and you channel it off of the person and you channel it into glory and you speak life in glory. You channel all that feelings you have and all that that's on you so powerfully and you rah into the spirit and you say, this person that's irritating the... Gosh. That embarrassed me just now. It almost went out there, Fred.
I noticed that.
Praise God. Self-control. Self-control. Fruit of the Holy Spirit. They're annoying your shoes off, all right? Their socks off, I guess I'd say. Right. You know what happens? When they're getting ready and you're getting ready to let them have it, instead you say, Fred Remick, you're a blessed man of God. You're anointed by the Holy Ghost. You have spiritual gifts erupting out of you. People are drawn to you like they are to the Lord Jesus Christ. You have an awesome life. I pray that you get blessed in every way, that every favor of God would manifest inside of you. You are my favorite person in the whole wide world. There isn't anyone that could garnish more favor in my heart than you can, Fred, because you are an incarnation of the Lord Jesus Christ by the Holy Spirit inside of you, that as he is, so are you, filled with love, filled with glory, filled with anointing, that you walk and the glory of God is like a veil behind you, a train, that anyone that steps in that glory gets healed instantly. Fred, I love you.
I received that
already. That's great.
Listen.
That's right. Oh, that's right. No, it's not.
Listen, the madder you get, the more force you use. I've had people screaming at me, hollering, and I got, I love you. Do you understand how much I love you? My favor rests on you 24/7. There isn't a thing you can do that caused me to ever wince away from your presence. I love your presence. I relish in your presence. You are the most anointed, magnetic person I've ever come across. The favor of God rests in your life. I am so blessed to be able to cross paths with you. Thank you for being who you are. That shut him up. It ended it right then and there. Because honestly, they do want to hear that. But here's the thing, they don't believe that about themselves. And they're hoping you're going to demonstrate some kind of love, reassurance in their life. And if you're not giving it to them, then you're hurting them. And that just embitters the other person. We have to take our eyes off of, I'm pointing to the picture, take our eyes off of that two-dimensional image that anyone else at a glance would see, and blur our vision to what's right in front of us, because that's not the real. And we focus in on what's really there. And when we can refocus the way the Holy Spirit and our Father in heaven focuses, we'll see the most glorious individual in front of us. We'll see the greatest blessing of a job. We'll see our finances just erupt with abundance. We'll see our businesses grow. We'll see our clientele favor us. We'll see these things because we see with eyes that the world can't see with. But it's not your natural, easy way to do it. Are you with me? Healing in our bodies. Listen, healing in our bodies, too many times. Okay, I believe with all my heart that if we can come across somebody who has the gift of healing, that is the most rewarding way to be healed, because it takes no effort on my part. Okay? They know God. They're anointed by God. They're pressing into God. God's favor's on them. I believe it too, because they're healing everyone in their presence. So therefore, I just need them to fix me, because I can't fix me, obviously. So please pray for me and heal me. That's the easiest and the best way. I don't know what it is, but I haven't even met one person with the gift of healing in my life yet. I've met people who are awesome at praying for people and they get healed. But nobody that it was just a by the Holy Spirit and that just happens. Everyone I know that's getting results has been pressing in, believing it's available, and they've been seeking God and transforming and renewing their identity and who they are as sons and daughters of righteousness and of God. And they start walking in the anointing that comes with the knowledge of being a son or daughter of God. And they know they have authority over the spirit of this world, and they exercise that authority. And they start getting results. That God's no respecter of persons for. That every person that believes in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ can walk in that. Just like they can see this picture crystal clear. But what if that's not the area you want to work in? Suppose you want to work in finance. Then you start focusing in and believing God in that realm of prosperity. If you need healing in your body, then you start focusing in on God's creation of the human body and how beautiful it is and how perfectly it works and how we just release the burdens of this world and we just forgive everything and everyone and release it and just let it go and get before God and cares and just lift up vibrancy in your body and you start speaking love to yourself. And like I said, do it alone so you don't get embarrassed by it. Body, I love you. I appreciate you. Thank you for carrying me these years. Thank you for dealing with all the, almost said that C word again, all the stuff I've put in you that they call food, but it's just been hurting you. Thank you, body, that all these years you've not given up on me. I appreciate you. I want to help you a little bit with your body for a second. Your body's vitally important to God. Your body's created to manifest the glory of God. It's not some arbitrary unit that you use while you're on earth and that's it, discarded and set it aside. It will be filled with glory. You breathe oxygen now, you're going to breathe glory. And that's when your cells are going to really burst into light. Because your blood will burst into light, your cells will burst into light, and you will burst into the light of the glory of the kingdom of God.
Hallelujah.
And that glory has already been given to you according to Romans chapter 8. So love your body. It has a purpose. It's important. It's vital. Negative thinking, carrying negativity and unforgiveness and worry and self-loathing destroys us. Amen. Thinking that we're not enough somehow. Your body can't handle it because the negative thinking coagulates in your organs. And when all that negative thinking goes into your liver can only handle so much of that stuff, and then it gives out. Your blood is where the life for this flesh is at. And if you keep thinking negative things about your life, your poor blood has all kinds of things that happen to it. Your lungs, if you don't believe you're free, if you don't believe I am free by the Spirit of God, your lungs start taking on all that negativity that I'm not free, I'm bound, I'm a prisoner, I'll never amount to anything. Every good thing goes to other people and never to me. Oh, what you're doing to your body when you do that. Amen. Because you can't hold it in your mind. So God's, when it overflows, it lodges into your body. When you don't forgive, it lodges into your body. When people have done you wrong, it lodges in your body. And your body is so precious to God. You need to forgive. You need to release it. You need to have a crop failure of all the things in the past so that the new crop has room to grow. Now, God is so wise that he takes the horrific things that happen to us and he's given us what was meant for bad and it turns around for good. All right? How many of you love the devil? Raise your hand. Who loves the devil? Who loves Satan? Raise your hand. Nobody does. How about let's kick him around for a little while? This is how we're going to do it. Okay? We're going to use the devil. He's not worth squat. So we're going to use him. He's been using us. So let's use him for a minute. So this is how we're going to use the devil. Our world is a garden. Okay? And we now are planting the most gorgeous fruits and herbs and vegetables. And so now, because we're deliberately deciding to grow great things, we need something to bring the weeds to our attention. We need someone to help us to keep our garden beautiful. So we'll use the accuser of the brethren. And what we'll do is, when he starts speaking negative things to us, you're no good. They don't really love you. If they loved you, they would call. They would stay in touch with you if they loved you. That's the devil showing you where the weeds are at in your heart. Hallelujah, devil. Thank you. You're absolutely right. I've been believing a lie. Root that thing out. I have the ability to stay in touch with people, devil. I have the ability to call people. I have the ability to go visit people. If I love them, I would go visit them. I better show some people that I love them. Instead of you pointing out, devil, that if they loved me, they would do these things. I can go do them instead. Thank you for reminding me I got a crop ahead of me. Praise the Lord. Jesus, thank you. Devil, you got anything else you need to share? Anybody you want to accuse because they're not treating me right? Devil, because it shows me where the weeds are so that I can jerk those things out so I can have good ground. Amen? Amen. I love you guys. Did you get something out of this? Don't worry about it. You know, let it go. They are. You got to actually take some time. Maybe it's a little harder on the screen than if you just look on your own computer at home. These are just 3D magic books. You can buy them where it's just books for 8, 9, 10, 12 bucks. Just picture after picture after picture like this, you know. And they're just, what they do is they're for being able to work on your focus, your ability to focus. That's all. Just 1 minute. Just 1 minute. All right. So, a recap. This is not easy. It's not easy. But if you want different results, you have to let go of what's real in the material world and go into the unseen realm and speak life and faith by yourself, not to the other person's face. It has nothing to do with them. I never talked to cigarettes about whether or not I could quit or not. I did not consort with them. I just want to let you know. Okay? And if I'm going to believe good things about other people, I don't need your permission or consent to think good things about you. And if we have a strained relationship, so what? I'm about to change my side of it. So to you, there may be a strained relationship, but to me, there's a glorious son or daughter of God. Amen? Amen. So I'm going to close in prayer, and then you can go ahead and say your statement. Father, I just thank you for this day today. I thank you for your word, Lord Jesus. Father, I just thank you for everyone that can hear my voice. Father, I pray that these words go in deep into our hearts, Lord. This is not an easy saying. It's truth. But Father, we're so inundated by negativity and what's happened and he said, she said, with toxins and all kinds of things, Lord. Father, I ask you to help us to take our hearts and our thoughts off of the negative and the hurtful things, Lord. And that the love of God that's in us can come to the surface, Lord, that the love we have will cover a multitude of sins, Lord Jesus. And that the love will erupt to the place of us speaking blessings and life, that, Father, that a new harvest grows, that the old be forgiven, released, and divorced from us, and completely gone, Lord. Even though in the natural it may be there, in truth it's temporary. And if we'll plant our garden and we'll tend that garden, you, Lord, will give the increase. And we trust you for that in Jesus' name. Amen.